This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
It is just shocking that we still operate this way. And let's talk about some of those bad studies. If we're going back to like the 1970s, that some of these beliefs were put into place that this is what we should be doing. It's always best that the biological parents are there. Reality be damned on how horrible they might be. I mean, what were they looking at? I mean, and once this started to get into place, obviously it's never really worked out that well. It went into place at some point in time. I don't know if it replaced something or was just they finally had some sort of standards in place. Why can't we ever go back and review these sort of things? And is this something on that same question that has to be reviewed across the board? If there was a change, would this go in effect nationwide? Is it a state-by-state thing? Is it a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction thing based on how they handle these sort of cases?
Yeah, it gets multi-layered and incredibly complex, and there are federal guidelines, mm-hmm. but it's up to the local entities on how they implement those guidelines. And so, again, it probably differs from region to region, county to county. And we need to do better research. I was trying to find the original studies that all these laws were based on, and I could find references to them. I couldn't find the actual data. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of research among the clinical community, meaning the psychologists and psychotherapists, that the outcomes that we see are not terrific for putting kids back with biological parents. In fact, I think I saw one that said 60% of the time the abuse recurs, you know, for kids who have been taken mm-hmm. away for abuse. But you would not know this from a Google search about reunification. Over and over and over, there are parental organizations flying under the term parental rights. And so there seems to be a very strong political movement for parents to maintain this illusion that children are always better off with their biological family and that biological families can have a case plan through the Department of Children and Families that will support them to do a better job as parents and that this is the outcome we should always be pushing for. And we've just got to do better. And so I hope that with the Office of the Child Advocates report, that this will cause everyone everywhere to pay closer attention to it.
I mean, is this a case that's big enough where maybe there could be something out there like a Harmony's Law or something that may come out of this where it's like, look, because of this, because of how broken this system is, we're able to get some semblance of sanity here in yeah. place?
Yeah, we need to do that. I think another one of the problems is gathering data. It's a very hard thing to study because there's no central data bank where you can go, oh, what is the outcome with mm-hmm. all these cases?
Sure.
You know, so we have what maybe mental health clinicians see and can document, but that's not a national picture. And so we need to come up with some way, and this would probably have to happen at the federal level, of monitoring outcomes mm-hmm. so that we can say, look, everybody's got this policy about reunification. Outcomes are showing nationally that this is not working and we've got to make some changes here.
Well, and I guess one of the big questions too, and that is, okay, what is satisfactory for an outcome? Because
exactly.
it seems right now it's like, well, just pick the needles up off the floor and you're good. Yeah. Go put your needles over in the bathroom and then the kids can play. Pick up those fentanyl pills too. Don't forget about that. But you know, that obviously shouldn't be the bar of like, oh, you did that, you're great. I mean, there needs to be, I think, a far more clear standard out there for what is acceptable for parental behavior than what there is right now. Because, I mean, how low is the bar right now? It's got to be shockingly low.
Yeah, it is shockingly low. And I'm always surprised, you know, because there was recently another case. Well, it was a woman that went into the church in Texas, I believe, the mega church, and mm-hmm. shot several people with an AR-15.
Yeah.
She had a documented history of paranoid schizophrenia. She was quite mentally ill. And she had custody of her 7-year-old child, who she took into the mass shooting with her. And he was shot in the head during this event. Yeah. And her family has come forward and said, we tried for years to get custody of this child and get him away from her. The court kept giving him back to the mother.
Yeah.
And this was a person who was floridly mentally ill. So, yeah, the bar is quite low.
What's going on? Why are the judges giving this child back to the mother over and over and over again, despite a family raise? It's not like there's some of these cases where nobody's raising a red flag. You have situations where there's grandparents, where there's brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whatever, all saying this is wrong. Look, here's the documented history of this person, yet the court keeps giving them back. Is that just a judge who doesn't care? Is that a judge who is really just following the letter of the law and going down that way, but not taking into account reality?
Yeah. Yeah. My guess is, again, in these awful cases, that there probably are, just like in the Montgomery case, layers of people who have not done their job. Mm-hmm. And why do we not have attorneys appointed to safeguard the interests of the children? Why aren't they doing a better job?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure many times they do, probably the majority of times they do, but clearly there are some who do not.
It makes me so angry, as I know it does you too.
Yes.
But there is little to no accountability for judges that continue to make these poor decisions over and over and over. I mean, this seems like a mountain to climb to really make much change, but if we had to start doing incremental changes onto this. I mean, one of the things, I mean, holding the judges more accountable, although that's probably quite a mountain that you'd have to go there. But if you could just enter into this to help start the process, do something that could start making a difference soon. I mean, what would some of those smaller changes be to this system to help keep a better eye on these kids that are in such horrific situations?
You know, the first place, and this was mentioned by that report on the Montgomery case, is to adequately fund and staff the children's protection agencies. That, again, part of this goes down to there was no follow-up, even after the social worker went out and saw that Harmony had a bruise on her face and Adam gave an excuse, oh, well, she was playing and got hurt. Nobody ever went back, you know, after she was placed with Adam. And he was living in New Hampshire, so you had the issue of, you know, Massachusetts being the original state, and then she was placed in New Hampshire. Nobody ever followed up to see, how is this going? Oh, the family became homeless. Maybe we need to do something. They're living in a car now. You know, there are clearly drugs going on here. Why is there no follow-up? My guess is because they're not staffed enough to do it.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the low-hanging fruit, is fund these agencies better, because, as I've always said, I know people who have done this kind of work, and they're good people who care about kids, but they burn out, they're exhausted, there's no way they can do what they would like to do. And so I think that would be the easiest place to start. And then for the rest of us who are motivated, try to do more research, and what can we possibly do to bring more accountability and to get the shift away from so much of an emphasis on parental rights and back to child safety, which I think is where most of the general public thinks it is.
Yes,
you know, they think it's all about keeping kids safe, but it doesn't really play out that way.
Yeah. I think that's a big misconception, because unless you're like learning about this or following these cases or have something in your life with someone who's having issues, you do think, oh, well, the kids they're going to be protected. The system won't. it's just not going to do it.
Right.
But it's one of those preconceived notions that, oh, this is going to work the right way. Not so much.
Yeah. So much in our system doesn't.
No.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.